We have been learning about how to activate God's power in our lives. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at a few things to kind of give us some reminders or maybe give us some new stuff that we can use on walking out our faith in God. We've looked at three main actions that we need to do to activate God's power in our lives. You notice there's a lot of act in here. It's a lot of get up and doer. We should be good at this because we should be able to get her done, right? We should be. We're from the Midwest, right? And so we need to activate. There's things we need to do. The first thing we need to act on is prayer. Because if we're not speaking to God, if we don't develop that relationship, if we don't learn to ask, and if we don't learn to listen, if we don't, you know, learn to develop that relationship, it pretty much stops there. You know, it's God trying to get our attention and us not paying attention. And God wants us to pay attention. The second thing that we need to do is we need to realize that there's times of waiting and equipping. And those are really very hard for us, aren't they? I talked about, don't you just love it when you call and then they put you on hold? Have you ever noticed that there are two types of music on those calls? There's a very soothing music. They hope that you'll fall asleep and drop the phone, okay? And there's a very annoying music, and they hope you'll just hang up and give up. But we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. And in that waiting time, God is equipping us. A lot of times we think that nothing's going on, but God is always, always working, even if we're not aware of it. And the third action that we need to take is we just need to act. And in this part of what we need to do, we're talking about our faith. We're talking about what our faith looks like. We're talking about what we are to believe in. So how are we supposed to act? Well, we've learned that in activating our faith, okay, breakthrough happens, okay, when we say that we're going to trust God, trust that God is going to supernaturally do what is impossible. That's faith, is believing in the unseen, believing in the undone. Believing that God has a purpose and God will accomplish something. The second thing about how we're supposed to act is God does the breakthrough, but he's waiting for us to take that first step of faith. So many times we kind of get in that waiting and equipping and we get comfortable there and we kind of like it there. And then when God says, okay, now I want you to go do something, it's like, but God... And that first step is ours. After God sets the stage, after God, you know, prepares our hearts and prepares our lives, he says, okay, now I want you to step out. And sometimes we're in a phase, what I call, are you waiting on God or is he waiting on you? Because a lot of times we're being equipped, we think, for one thing, and God says, okay, now it's time to go do this. And you're like, but God, that's not what I wanted to do. Okay, have you guys figured it out? It's not about you, it's about God. And so when God says, no, I want you to do this, it's like, okay, God, I'll go do this. It's about that first step of faith. We've also looked deeper into the truth that we must trust in God and his unlimited power. Okay, there are many times in life where we operate on our own strength, and that's good. God's created us with a will. He's created us with our soul, with our you know, abilities, and it's good. But when we step out of his power to just solely operate on our power, that's where we get in trouble. And we may not do it deliberately, but when we do it, we're still operating in self-reliance. And you can always tell when you're operating in self-reliance because you start experiencing, okay, doubt and fear. Doubt and fear. When we step away from God, I'll tell you what, the enemy, he throws doubt at us, he throws fear at us, he throws all kinds of things at us. I'm going to tell you a really cute story, and I can tell you this story because there's no one here any longer in this church that was involved in this story, but it is about this church, okay? We helped plant Solid Rock Church. We've been here since day one. We were at the first service, and, you know, if we're raptured, I'll be here at the last service, okay? But we were at the first service, and when it was time for us to step into the position as pastor, it took a lot of faith because we really liked where we were at. It wasn't like God had... You know, sometimes God makes us so uncomfortable we want to go into another you know, another, you know, phase of our life. We weren't. We were very comfortable. I had a great job. We loved where we were living. I mean, 2 miles, I was at one of the best bass dams in South Dakota. Who wouldn't want to live there, right? I mean, I literally shot deer out of my backyard. I don't know about Cindy, but I really liked living there. Okay. And the kids, we really did. And so when it was time to move, you know, we were praying. And I said, you know, God, we really want to know this is of you. I mean, I was really putting the fleece down. I was being Gideon because I really didn't want to. I really didn't want to. My whole life I'd prepared, you know, to pastor church. And when it really came to that place, I was like, but God, things are so good now. You know, why couldn't have you made it uncomfortable? Why? No, it was good. And so God says, okay, it's going to be very clear. And they have at that point in time in our churches, what we did is we had a vote of confidence. And rarely do you get 100% vote of confidence. Even if there's some people that, even if they believe in you, they don't want you to get 100%. You know? Okay. Well, we got 100% vote of confidence. All right. So we loaded up our U-Haul, and I had a number of people that volunteered to come and unload our U-Haul, and we pulled our U-Haul up to our house in town, and the day that we were moving and unloading, nobody showed up. Nobody. I had a whole truckload of refrigerators and couches and beds and all this stuff, a whole truckload. And we had, you know, we had a 55-gallon barrel full of Sloppy Joe mix. I mean, that's what it looked like, you know, because we were going to, and it was like, and I kept getting phone calls, sorry, Pastor, but this come up, I couldn't make it. You want to know something? If I wouldn't have known that God was in the middle of all of that, I was still loaded. They hadn't filled my position. But you want to know something? I knew. There was no doubt. There was no fear in it. And so we stopped and we prayed. And our new next door neighbor, and many of you might know him. He's lived in this community forever. His name is Mike Overby. He's a wonderful Christian man. He is now one of my bosses up at the college. And Mike comes over and he goes, so what's up? You know, Matt, hey, hi. Oh, yeah, you're the new pal. Yeah, this, now, new neighbor. Yeah, he goes, well, you know, I got nothing going on today. I will help you unload that truck. And he and I have been the best of friends for 20 years. I mean, in that moment, I made an incredible, you know, see, God always has a purpose and a plan. And every once in a while, we'll joke about that. He says, you know, he said, I got to admit, he said, you know, if that would have happened to our pastor, he probably would have just packed up and went back. I said, yeah, but I had you, Mike. You see, God always has a plan. And God, when he's involved, even if it looks like, whoa, this is just incredibly crazy, there's not fear and there's not doubt. If we want to activate more of God's power in our lives, we not only need to step into our faith, but we need to understand God's universal law of sowing and reaping. Now just think about it. We really live in a rural farm community. A lot of people, they live in Spearfish and they think, well, you know, this is kind of like a city. Well, not really. This morning, somebody's not here because their sheep was sheeping. Lambing, right? Okay? I mean, and so we understand the laws of sowing and reaping. If you want to have something, you've got to plant something. You got to sow. Because if you don't sow, if you don't put in the time, if you don't put in the seed, you have nothing to show for it. And the whole Bible talks about this. And all of creation, every living thing, in fact, in our men's group, we talked about life, didn't we, Joe? We talked about how God's life, how that DNA of basically recreating is, it's in everything. In everything in creation. It's a miracle. And it only happens because there is a designer behind it, and that designer is God. It's impossible to believe anything else. You need more faith to believe that God's not involved, okay? And so we have this sowing and reaping in everything, in plants, okay? In animals, in us, okay? We have this going on, and God uses it time and time again to parallel it with our soul, with our mind, with our spirit. Sowing and reaping is in everything that God does. Everything that God does. God's universal law. You see, many of us are living this blessing. Many of you here, I see you sowing your time. I see you sowing your resources. I see you sowing your money. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that's happened over the years.
And God always gives an increase. Always. Always does. It's amazing. You see, in Luke 6, 37 through 38, it says, "Do not judge and you will not be judged." Now, sowing and reaping also goes with negative things, not just the positive things. And a lot of times, what happens is when we teach on this, we don't read the precursor verse on this, which is very important. Jesus says, "Don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." You see, it says, judge, so you won't be judged. Okay? It says, don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. But if you forgive, see, that's the spiritual and moral and mental part of this relationship. God says, I carry it over even into the natural realm of everything that goes on. He said, with a good measure, okay, you will be given if you give. I had a mentor and a pastor one time. He says, let me just show you kind of simply. He says, you know what a number 10 scoop shovel is? How many of you know what a number 10 scoop shovel is? How many of you have ever shoveled grain with a number 10 scoop shovel? That's what they're made for. Man, and you're like, you can just fling the grain. Can you imagine God with that scoop shovel just throwing his blessing at you and you with a teaspoon trying to throw it back? He said, because that's what God's like. He's like just tossing this at you and you're just like flinging it back at him. And every time you give a teaspoonful, God is willing to throw it back at you. Let me show you how in nature God has shown us how this works in our lives. For example, okay, depending upon the type of wheat, depending upon it, one kernel of wheat produces 10 to 200 grains of wheat. Now, you think, oh, okay, 1 to 200, that's cool. Okay, but if you plant a ton of wheat, okay, you get 200 tons in return. That's why wheat farmers make a lot of money sometimes, when the government doesn't get involved. Just a precursor, okay? So that's just wheat. And you know, and God says, you know, not even a kernel of wheat falls to the ground that isn't productive. Okay, how about this? An oak tree. And we had this big oak tree in our backyard when I was growing up. And I knew from a young age why squirrels lived by our house. Because every year this oak tree would produce, okay, acorns. In what they call a mast year, and if you'll notice, if you've been around trees or fruit or anything, some years they produce more, some years they don't. Well, oak trees have what they call mast years. Mast year comes from an English term that basically means the nuts fall to the ground, and then the English would let their pigs go out and eat the nuts and get fat. So some of us, we've been in a mast year. We're getting healthy, okay? So in a mast year, when an oak tree produces, it can produce up to 10,000 acorns. Just think about that. And then it's amazing because squirrels will gather these acorns. God is so in charge of everything. They'll gather them and they'll go hide them and then they'll forget where some of them is, and pretty soon you got an oak forest. And it's because of one oak tree producing 10,000 acorns. Or how about this, a tumbleweed? Tumbleweed, kochia weed. Tumbleweed. You know, we call them tumbleweeds. Why? Have you ever seen them blow? That's why they call them a tumbleweed. Tumble, tumble, tumble. Okay. A tumbleweed. Now, this is amazing. A tumbleweed produces 250,000 seeds. That's why you see them, you know, along the fence lines where they get all 250,000 seeds. That's one tumbleweed. So let's take that and let's use that in God's terms, okay? These things occur in nature, okay? These things occur in life. God says, don't judge, don't condemn, and forgive, and good things will happen to you. It's easy to judge and condemn. It's easy to hold unforgiveness. It's easy. See, we're kind of like a tumbleweed when it comes to that, okay? And this is why we're like a tumbleweed. The seeds, they produce quickly, and they germinate quickly. For example, a tumbleweed germinates in 1 year and produces 250,000 seeds. An oak tree takes up to 20 years before it produces acorns. So I ask you this, you want to be a tumbleweed or an oak tree? I want to be an oak tree. I mean, I don't want to be blown up against the fence and stomped on and pooped on by cows. You know, I want to be an oak tree. I want to be that oak tree. And God gives us all of these wonderful, wonderful things. You see, years ago, it would have been very, very, very easy for us to condemn and judge somebody. We were told about a situation where this person, I thought, had been irresponsible, okay? The sheriff's department called and said, Jim, you're not going to believe this. We got a landlord, you know, up here in Lead, and they are evicting this lady on Christmas Eve, and she has to be out of her house at 6 o'clock. Can you help her? First of all, I'll be really honest. First of all, I thought, well, she should have been a little more responsible. How many of you have ever thought like that? Right? We do, don't we? So I said, well, what's going on? You know, I asked her, what's going on? Well, it's not entirely her fault. She was scammed, and she lost all of the money in her bank account. And, you know, she's trying to catch up. It's been about 3 months, but the landlord won't work with her, and he is evicting her. And he has the papers. And we have to go up and we have to stand there while this poor woman hauls as much of her furniture out of her house as she possibly can in the next 4 hours, and she has no help. Well, I put together a crew. I mean, Pat Doyle came and a few guys came. We went up, we unloaded her stuff, you know, we went and put it in a storage thing, and we got to know her, and she lived with us for a while. And I went over and I talked to the landlord. And I did a little Isaiah prophetizing on him. And I explained to him that good things come to good people and bad things come to people that sow badness. Told him that scripture right there. I said, this is not going to come to good for you. That poor woman is trying to get ahead. And Christmas Eve, really? I said, you're not the devil, but you must be his cousin. And it's a good thing there was a deputy sheriff there, because I really wanted to whale this guy. Have you just ever wanted to take somebody apart? And he was even bigger, but I think I could have whipped him. But you want to know something? That beautiful woman is now managing a convenience store, and that landlord is struggling financially. There is a law of reaping and sowing that God has put into effect. And we need to reap the goodness. We really need to reap the goodness. You see, God provides resources and opportunities for us to plant good seed. He really does. He really does. Even when we think that we don't have hardly anything, Donovan's about ready to go over to Thailand. And I just encourage you to pray, because every year we have people go on missions trips. And I encourage you to go on one if God calls you and tugs your heart to do it. Because you come back and you realize, I have got a lot of opportunity over here to bless them, to bless the people around you. We have so much. We have so much, you know. And it's amazing. God gives us the opportunity. He tells us in 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul tells us about this opportunity. He says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That's God. Paul says he'll do it. He'll do it. And then Paul tells us why. He says, you will be rich, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it all is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. God supplies the seed. But here's something that a lot of times we forget. We need to plant it to see it enlarged. He owns the storehouse of seed. But we have to plant it. And the wonderful thing about the storehouse of seed is the storehouse of seed is very, very close to us. It's within us. God plants love and joy and peace and patience and compassion. All of the fruits of the Holy Spirit are planted within us so that we can deposit those seeds into the lives of the children of God, it says, first of all, but also so that we can plant it into the lives of people around us. So thanksgiving and expressions of thanksgiving will go to God. People will realize that, wow, their God is really cool. because he tells them to love me even when maybe I don't deserve love, or to help me even when maybe I don't deserve help. You see, God is amazing. He is the one who supplies the seed. And when we plant seed in faith, there will be an increase. Now, sometimes I use the tumbleweed as a negative expression because it you know, produces crop fat. But sometimes our expression of thanksgiving to God, it happens almost instantaneously. It's like it springs up instantly, very fast, like a tumbleweed. But then there's those times, you know, when you feel like, man, I've just given and I've given and I've given and I've helped and I've served and I've given. And you think, wow, is this ever going to come? That's when you're waiting on the oak tree. That's when you're waiting on that oak tree. And like I said, there was an oak tree in the backyard of I grew up in my grandparents' apartment. There was an oak tree there. When we moved into the house, the oak tree was probably a good 100 years old. The oak tree is 100 and plus. About 164 years old. We know it's really crazy because we know when the house was built and we know that the tree was planted because there was a little note. When we moved in, when I was born, it was almost 100 years old. And so here we have this tree that's 100 years old, and for years and years and years and years, it's been there. It's provided shade. That backyard is one of the most beautiful backyards. You've got this oak tree, you got tulips around it, and all the way around the yard you got ferns because this oak tree is so huge, it gives shade. It's just like, it's like Fern Gully back there in the summertime. And it's been that way for years and years and years. You know, see, sometimes God's planting something that takes a little bit of time, and we've got to be patient. Sometimes it springs up instantly. But God's righteousness, when it's planted in the lives around us, it always springs up. It always does. God promises that his increase will not only supply the needs of ourselves and the church, but the needs of people around us. So I'm going to encourage you this week to evaluate your resources and opportunities and ask yourself, how can I plant good seed? How can I plant good seed? How can I pass on the blessing that I have in God to those around me? How can I give people time? How can I give them understanding, compassion, forgiveness, love? How can I pass on joy? How can I do that? How can I be what God wants me to be? See, God's seed, his storehouse is within you. And he keeps pouring into that storehouse. He says that he enlarges that storehouse and he adds to it. The more seed you pull out of your storehouse, the more seed he pours in. Just like that illustration, you with a teaspoon and God with a scoop shovel. And God wants us to plant the seed that he's given us into the lives of others. The last slide that we have right here is a reminder of kind of what's going on. Here in about a week or so, Donovan's going to Thailand. There's going to be a camp. This is our middle school, high school group from last year. There are kids sitting in that group of kids that very well could have been trafficked and sold as into child prostitution or slavery or whatever. Because us, 400 other churches and a bunch of churches that are within Shepherd staff sponsor a lot of those kids. And you guys here have given to that ministry. And you've also given to another ministry that we do in Cambodia, which is a child's home, that does the same thing, and you give to a ministry through Open Bible, and this is linked with Open Bible, and this is linked with Shepherd staff here, but you also give into another organization in our missions, where we are now planting an Open Bible church in Chiang Mai. You know, the people that we had dinner with when we were there, Mike and Shah Ravishah, and a lot of people are like, why do you need another church? You need as many churches as you can plant. One time somebody said, well, I think we have enough churches in Spearfish. I said, no, we don't. They said, what do you mean? I said, is everybody in Spearfish saved? No, we don't have enough churches then. And God has the seed. I look at that picture and I just want to start crying because of all the happiness and all the love and all the fun that we had and all the lives that were changed and all of the lives that are changed every day. So I just really, really encourage you, think about how you can plant good seed. And when you're given the opportunity, please do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you pour within us a harvest of righteousness, Lord, from your heavenly realms. Lord, you give us an unlimited amount of your favor and your blessing. And I pray, Lord, that we would see that and understand it, and we'd pass it on to others. We'd pass it on, Lord, by giving of our time, giving of our understanding, giving of compassion, giving of our ear and our listening, giving hugs, just loving on people all around us, Lord. Just pray, Father, that we would do that so that we could see your righteousness being passed on to others. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.